Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the next episode of my podcast for Peace of Mind Makers. The acronym is POMM, so I thought I would call it the Pomcast. Not sure if this name is going to stick, but that's what I'm going to use for now because it just popped into my brain. So, I want to talk about the different zodiac signs and the houses that they correspond with in the natal chart. And I want to point out a few reasons why the houses are oriented where they are and what the circle kind of can represent symbolically, because I think it's pretty cool and it kind of helps you remember what the houses are supposed to mean. And if you can link them with the zodiac signs, it just helps you remember the whole thing a little bit better, because it just gives meaning to it and you're not just trying to memorize information. So, with that being said, I'm going to make myself small. Whoops. Alright, so here is this page for the midheaven, which I'm not going to talk about right this second. I'm actually going to talk about the ascendant, because that's the first point. Well, it's the area where your chart starts. So, what does that mean? Well, the birth chart is like a circle, and you are at the center of it. And so there's this ecliptic, which is essentially how the Earth rotates, which is why we see the sun rise and set the way we do. So this point over here where the ecliptic meets the horizon line is where your ascendant is in your chart, and it represents like the dawn of your life. So that's why your chart begins there, because when you're born, it's like a new dawn of life for you in this journey. And the path of the birth chart is like the journey through your life. And I think it's just really interesting, even though the houses are numbered, if you look down here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it goes counterclockwise in the numbering, the ascendant, if you think about this as like the horizon here and the sun rising over here, even though this is like the left and the sun rises in the east, still, if it rises over here and travels this way and then sets over here, which is the opposite point from the ascendant, called the descendant, then over here is like underground, right? So just like keep that visual image in your brain, because I think that's really important to try to understand kind of the concepts behind the houses. And it didn't really click that much for me until I kind of wrap my head around that. So think about this line here as like the horizon. And so counterclockwise and clockwise is like just one way of reading, because the planets end up moving retrograde and back and forth, and there's no one right direction to be reading the chart. So that's why I think it's cool to just look at it as something a little more abstract. Basically, this other point here I wanted to point out, the vernal equinox is the point of the year where Aries season starts, because that's when the sun travels across this point to the northern hemisphere from the southern hemisphere. So that is the essential meaning behind Aries being the beginning or the ruler of the first house and the beginning of the zodiac. To put it in context for you. So I'm actually an Aries rising, which is really fun for me. As you can see from the hair. But no, it's just a little bit easier, I think, a little bit more intuitive to learn your chart if you do happen to be an Aries rising and you really want to learn about the houses in general, because it doesn't make it quite as complicated. Whereas, you know, somebody with a Libra rising, aka my partner, you know, it's just maybe not as clear cut where these energies are coming from and how they're going to be manifested in these areas of your life. Things can get a little confusing, but that's why I'm just going to try to break it down for you and cover the basics. So the first house represents, let me pull this up real quick over here. Voila. The first house over here represents the self-image, and it's the ascendant, which I already mentioned is your chart ruler, and it's like the dawn, point of the dawn of your life, so it kind of dictates what your path is going to be. So that's why you would say that whatever your ascendant sign is the ruler of your chart, because it kind of dictates your journey. So, if we're linking it to Aries, what does that mean? Aries is ruled by Mars, and they are known for taking action and taking charge. And they are a masculine and a cardinal sign. And I'm not going to list all fire, earth, air, water, because I feel like everyone knows that and it's pretty well known. But there are also different aspects to all the signs, such as their masculine or feminine, and then are they cardinal, fixed, or immutable, which just means cardinal signs like to be in the lead and taking charge. Fixed signs do not like to change much and like to be stable. And then mutable signs like to change and adapt and are very skilled at that. So there's a little basic background info of what that means as I go through the signs, because it does give you a little bit of an idea of how each, like every four signs then, has a different energy. And if they link up with the houses, that means like houses 1, 4, 7, 10 kind of hold that same energy of like cardinal, so, or fire, or what have you. So, the second house is representing your self-worth and your value. And it is represented by Taurus, which is ruled by Venus. And it is known for wanting to seek stability, which makes sense for your self-worth. You want to be secure, not insecure. And it also has to do with pleasure in the sense of our, like, worldly belongings. And it's also a feminine and a fixed sign. So the fixed quality of wanting stability makes sense for the second house. So for the third house, we have communication and skills. Practical skills, I would say. And this house is represented by Gemini and is ruled by Mercury. So, makes sense for this house to be communication if it's associated with Gemini and Mercury. Seeking knowledge and using wit are characteristics I would describe for Gemini. And it's also a masculine and mutable sign. So being able to change and adapt is important for communicating and using practical skills. So I think that tracks. So then we have the fourth house, which is representing your family and your home and your roots and foundation. So I want to point something out real quick. I just went 1, 2, 3, 4. You see where the cursor is here? This is the fourth house. Your roots and foundation. That's right where the roots would go if this were the horizon and this were underground, right? So I think that's kind of neat. I like that. It makes sense symbolically. It's intuitive. So, this house is represented by Cancer and the Moon, which also makes sense because Cancer is very sensitive and has to do with emotional security, and the Moon has to do with our emotions and also is representative of maternal influences and, you know, parents. So, makes sense. Doesn't always have to be your blood family, though. It could just be, like, your home environment, wherever you grew up, who you grew up with, what your foundation is, essentially. And it's also a feminine and a cardinal sign. So then we have the fifth house, which is for self-expression and pleasure. Again, we have a pleasure house, but this one is ruled by Leo and the Sun. So we have a lot of passion and being in charge, although it is a masculine and a fixed sign. So the Sun just kind of wants to be everything. And I can really relate to Leo ruling my fifth house, even though I don't have any really prominent placements in there. So just leave it at that. Leo season's going to be fun. Then we have the sixth house, which represents health and our duties and the kind of work we do that's not like really our profession, but just like routine work, taking care of ourselves. Our environment. And this is represented by Virgo, which is ruled by Mercury. And this is often characterized by having a lot of attention to detail and quality, which is really important in this area of your life. So it's good to have that rulership in this area. It's also feminine and a mutable sign. So being willing to change things up to have, you know, better quality, and I think it's really important for everyone to realize for their health. Yes. So, we have the seventh house next, which represents partnerships and relationships, and I want to take another second to look at this little chart over here, because we're at the seventh house, which is where the Sun sets, and it took me a minute to wrap my head around this one, because I'm like, how does that really have to do with your partnerships and relationships? But if you think about the Sun as like yourself, the I, the ego, you kind of have to let that down, put that down for a second to have a healthy relationship and to be able to work with other people and to care about other people and to sustain good relationships and to have boundaries, you know, that are actually meaningful and sustainable. So, you know, I think that's really interesting how that works out, and you can also try to remember it just as like, who do you want to ride into the sunset together with? That would maybe be represented by your seventh house. So it's ruled by Libra and Venus, by the way, and they are characterized by establishing balance and harmony. So you can see why kind of the opposite point of being all about yourself is about finding balance and establishing harmony. But Can't have one without the other. So, it's also masculine and cardinal. So then for the eighth house, we have transformation. And it's ruled by Scorpio, and that is ruled by Pluto. So, you know, some people are scared of the eighth house because it does have associations with death, but it's more like regeneration and the circle of life and kind of rebirthing yourself, renewing yourself, just, you know, transformation. It doesn't have to be scary. Also, death is a part of life, so shouldn't be scared of it. And it's also a feminine and a fixed sign, so it's not going anywhere. It's fixed. Then we have the ninth house, and that is for expanding and your learning, expanding your learning through exploring and higher learning. So exploring new areas of interest also is what you can maybe expect from the ninth house. And this is ruled by Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter. And they are also known for exploring and expanding, so it's very appropriate. Taking chances is often associated with Sagittarius and Jupiter as well. And this is a masculine and immutable sign, so being willing to just change and go with the flow. So then we have the 10th house, which comes to this point over here at the top of the chart. It's the highest point in the chart. And so if you think about the sun rising over here on the left part and going clockwise, it sets over here, and then at this point up here, the midheaven, is your, like, the highest point of your life, the most recognition that you'll get. So that's like your career and your public responsibility. It's where you're going to basically be seen and most called to in your life. And this is represented by Capricorn and Saturn, which are associated with ambition and endurance. So it's very appropriate for that area of your life. And this is also represented by feminine and a cardinal sign. So my bunny's been really good so far. I'm almost done. Hopefully he'll chill out. I'm almost done. Then we have the 11th house, and this represents your aspirations and what I would say your true calling is. And this can be shown in the people that you choose to be around as well. So, like, your people, you know, like, these are your people that are basically gonna want to see you succeed and reach your highest self. That's what's represented in the 11th house, as well as your own aspirations and reaching for your own goals. But the people who are going to help you get there are equally as important in this area of your life. And this is represented by Aquarius and ruled by Saturn. And they're associated with intuition and universal understanding. So really just being in tune and accepting that the universe wants you to succeed and that you should be aligning with things that are going to help you get there. And this is also a masculine and a fixed sign. So then we have the final house, which is the 12th house, and it represents privacy and spiritual growth. And this is represented by Pisces and ruled by Jupiter. So we have Pisces, which is really compassionate and has a lot of emotional depth. And then Jupiter is all about growth and expansion. So you're going to be expanding on your inner worlds. And often that takes a lot of solitude. So that's why privacy is associated with this area of life or this house as well. And it is also a feminine and a mutable sign. So, those are, in essence, the 12 signs, give or take, you know, some information that I definitely left out. I could have added, but I figure this video is going to be long enough as it is, and I always encourage you to do your own research. I think this is just, you know, a few key points that maybe will help you see the bigger picture of what the whole chart means and how all of the different signs can be linked to these areas of life. And if you just get really familiar with that, then it becomes easier to look at your chart and where the signs are occupying certain houses, and just kind of not just swap the meanings, but you can kind of compound that meaning. Like, if your first house is not Aries like mine, if it's Sagittarius, then, you know, you have still a fire sign in that area, and you can see, like, what matches up with Aries and Mars, and you can kind of compare and contrast and just see what resonates with you and what you can focus on and go from there. It's really just like looking at data and extrapolating what is going to help you, experimenting on making your life more enjoyable and just make more sense. So it's just a navigation tool, really, and I hope this helps you start using it, or if you feel called to ask me for any further questions, I would love to have a personal discussion with you. You can book a free reading on my website also, or just DM me on one of my social media platforms. Please don't hesitate. I don't bite. So, yeah. That wraps up episode 2 of the Palmcast. And yeah, I will see you guys for the next one.